Okay, I'm going to try to make a little adjustment here. Thank you, Michael Vernon Harper. Let me see if this works here. Here, how's that? Does that look okay from back there? Yeah? Okay. Always improving. Kaizen. Always trying to improve, even if incrementally. I remember quite some time ago when I used to work at Sears. I was actually at the Parks Department of Parks and Recreation, and I was a young man at that time, and I had this summer job of cleaning up the leaves. In case you're wondering where all the leaves and bean pods and everything and sticks go, it goes wherever the custodian rakes it all up and piles it all up, and wherever it gets thrown away, that's where it goes. So I had this summer job where I worked out in Sand Island Beach Park, and I was with these older people. I was really young back then. It was just kind of a side deal. And I was watching these guys. This supervisor used to come around with the truck every so often, kind of check up on the people. And the older guys there were, they would say, okay, the supervisor's coming. Let's get busy. I'm sure you guys don't know what that's about. But that's kind of, I remember that was a really kind of a wake-up call to what it means to respond one way and then respond another way, depending on who you're with. So without the supervisor there, these people were just kind of slacking off, always talking story and smoking and things like that. And then the supervisor shows up, and then you can see the truck, right? The truck's coming down the road, and then everybody starts sweeping up. And then the supervisor comes, and he starts talking story about this people over there. And he's talking about his own supervisor, and he's talking about these people over here. And then I don't know what the discussion was about, but I do remember this supervisor was furious. He was so angry, and he said, "These guys, you guys always talking about me, rah, 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 and they always talking about me. You guys just two-faced." I thought, two-faced. Wow, that's a neat statement. And since that time, I've heard that term being used in various different contexts, but it's usually used in the context of someone who behaves one way in one situation behind the scenes and another way in public. And that's what we're talking about today. That's what Jesus is talking about today as we look into our scripture. Our scripture is found in Luke chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, 1, 2, and 3. So if you have that, you could open that up in your Bible. I have this verse, especially verses 2 and 3, highlighted. This is one of the earliest verses I highlighted in the Bible. And I would suggest if you have a Bible, I would suggest you highlight this. And we're going to go into this as Jesus is warning about this thing called hypocrisy. But let's go ahead and read that to kind of give us a head start on what's happening here. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Okay, let's read that together. Ready, go. "Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, 'Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.'" Be on your guard. Jesus warns us to be on your guard. Let's go ahead before the Lord and pray. Our Father, there are many things you've warned us about, and this is one of them. Father, we want to take this to heart. Lord, I believe as Jesus spoke these words, it's a very personal thing for him. And it's a very personal thing for us as we reflect on these words. The words of being aware of this thing called hypocrisy. Help us, Lord, to hear the word of the Lord and to obey it by being alert and aware of things that are dangerous and displeasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus, in this verse, uses an analogy called, he uses this verse, he says, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He uses a term which is well known among pretty much everybody there, and we're pretty familiar with this as well. Anybody who has baked bread, I have never baked bread, but nonetheless, I am familiar with this term, very familiar. You know that when you add yeast, in order to make the bread rise, you have to add yeast to the dough. And then what you do is you add the yeast to the dough, and what do you do after that? You just throw it in the oven? What do you need to do? Let it sit for a while. And what the yeast kind of multiplies, right, and kind of moves throughout the dough, and it fills up the whole dough. So he's talking about this process where something spreads. And I thought about using yeast and dough, but you know, that's not going to work too well because you can't see yeast. So if I were to put some yeast in a dough and put it over here, you wouldn't see anything happening. So my good brother Darren Knuckle suggested I have another illustration here that might work a little better. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to put a little food coloring in this water just to show how yeast works through, a little yeast works through dough, okay? So oftentimes we think that our sins and certain particular things kind of stay isolated here. But really, Jesus is warning that there is a particular kind of thing we need to watch out for. The particular thing Jesus is talking about here is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is really that thing of being two-faced, being one way in public and one way, another way in private. Now, the idea of working through and spreading out of the sins and the effects of sins is nothing new. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, 9, Paul uses this about false teachings. False teachings spread. In one place, he says it spreads like gangrene. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, he talks about sexual immorality. Sexual immorality spreads. And a permissive attitude of that allows it to spread even more. So hypocrisy is really, as we talked about last week, is the idea of wearing a mask. So you wear one mask in one setting, and you go to another place, and you wear another mask in a different setting. And the Pharisees, Jesus is saying, is two-faced. They are two-faced. As I mentioned, the illustration of the parks and recreation where I work, but we see this a lot of places we go, don't we? It's not unusual for me to sit with a couple who goes to church, and the couple would say, well, you know, so-and-so, my spouse, is one way at church. That's the person you know. But the person I know is the person I know when we go home. And that person's different. So the person in church is smiling, greeting everybody. As soon as we get in the car, bam, the real person comes out. It's not unusual. I hear this all the time. I hear this from children about their parents. The parents in public is different from the parents in private. I remember driving along one day, and I was just driving along, and I made a snide remark, and I thought, oh, that's, you know, kind of no big deal. If I were driving along with an adult, they would say, they would probably play along with that kind of banter, right? But I was driving along with my kids in the back seat, and they said, together, they said, oh, Pastor Stan. The kids will catch you. They'll catch you, I tell you. And so Jesus says to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Beware. I wonder why he didn't say, don't do it. I wouldn't be surprised, and he doesn't actually say this in the text, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't say, don't do it, because we all have a little bit of that two-facedness in all of our lives. And what we need to do is be aware of that. How am I in the public? How am I in the private? And are we even conscious of it? I'm aware of people, I've sat down with people throughout the years, people who are not even aware that they're different in two different settings. And that is the danger, when our public persona is different from our private persona. Now, we're not talking about, make sure we know about this, we're not talking about things that are appropriately private. There are things that happen in private that the Bible says should remain private. How do we know that? Because the Bible talks about confidentiality. The Bible talks about modesty. These are things that are not, should not be displayed publicly and should be kept in privacy. The Bible talks about handling conflicts as close to its source as possible. You don't go directly to the big picture, take the person's sins to the church. You handle it in a small place first. And if it's handled there, it's over. You're taking care of it. So we're not talking about things that are necessarily and properly handled in private. We're talking about things, and it's kind of the secret things that we're dealing with. And we'll get in this in just a few moments here. But Jesus is saying to live and speak, listen to this, expecting your words and behavior will one day come to light, because they will. Jesus says it actually four times in the following couple of sentences. Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. If we can put that up, Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Sorry, I wrote down the wrong verses there, but if you could get that up. Okay, let's read that together. Ready, go. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs, will be proclaimed from the housetops. Can you get that picture? Jesus is saying all of these things are going to be made known one day. Also note the words nothing and whatever. If you could back up, Joel, to one slide, there's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed. Nothing. I have to tell you, that's a scary thing for me. That is a scary thing. And this whole thing is kind of like that Truman Show. I'm not sure if you guys see on that Truman Show, the comedian Jim Carrey acted in this show called The Truman Show. And this idea is that there's these secret cameras. What? It's kind of like a what if. There's these secret cameras all over the place, hidden cameras all over the place, and he's living his life, he does his thing. Unbeknownst to him, he's being broadcast on public TV, and that's kind of unnerving, it is, just the thought about your whole life being shown before public. As you drive along, it's in public, as you meet with people, as you talk and complain, it's made public. What if we did that? What if we did that in church here? We showed your life in public on these screens. Oh, it's kind of scary. It's like, I don't want to watch that show. It irks me inside. And so really, Jesus' words are intended to motivate us on how to live. It will not be left up to us on what we pick and choose on what's going to be revealed. He says, there's nothing concealed that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in the ear, in the inner rooms, the smallest whisper in privacy, will be proclaimed from the housetops. Yikes! Now, why? How do you get out of this sermon? How do you get out of this sanctuary without this really icky feeling? And I will say this. I think this is very, very important. This one scripture, has done more for me to watch what I say in private settings than any other scripture. This, let me say that again. This one scripture has done more for me to guard what I say in public settings than any other scripture. There are lots of other scriptures, right? James 1:19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's good, yes. Let your Ephesians 4:29, let your say only things that are edifying to people. Okay, great. But if I say things, if I let my anger out, if I say things that are not edifying to people, you know what? That's only between me and God. And God's a forgiving God, right? And so, God, that's just between you and me, right? And no one else is going to see this, right? If we have that attitude, it's very easy to be like the people I worked with at the Parks and Recreation. Why? Because we're depending upon the forgiveness of God as a cheap forgiveness. That is, we don't really care if our speech and our actions are really shameworthy. We only care that nobody sees it. We are willing to do in the plain presence of God what we are not willing to do in the presence of people. Yikes. So that's why this one scripture is different from almost all the other scriptures. Why? Because the idea of I'm going to be embarrassed one day when people find out that Stan Miyamoto acted and behaved this way, and he's the Bible teacher, he's the Bible leader, or he's the pastor, or he's discipling all these people, and look at how he acted. So for that reason, this scripture has done more for me to be honest about my own state, my own inner state, so that I can actually be free from that. God's wanting to wash me free from all of those things, ugly things that are in my heart, and not just in my heart, but hiding out in my heart, and wants to take up residence in my heart. But it's not good enough that I can hide it from people. Because Jesus wants us to know that it's going to be made known. I shared with you already last week or the week before about the complaining that me and a lot of different people did about the pastor one time. But that's not the only time. There's lots of other times that something like that has happened. And every time, really, God has convicted me in that. Stan, this is going to come to light. How do you want this to come to light? So I'm going to mention a couple of things that I think are important at this point. That is, okay, we're told to live in such a way that we'll not be ashamed when everything comes to light. How do we do that? How can we not be two-faced? Well, number one, if you have your programs over there and your notes page, take out your notes page. Number one is to guard your tongue and actions. Guard your tongue and actions. Much of what we're talking about here has to do with speech. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the housetops. So guard your tongue and your actions. Don't say or do anything that's going to bring shame once it's going to be made known, because it will be made known. Rather, in our hearts, take a look at this. We have two values in our hearts. We have two values. Sometimes they work in harmony. Sometimes they compete. So let's say I really hate this person. I just hate this person. And what I want to do in my heart, I want to tell them off, and I want to rip them to shreds. But there's another value in my heart, and it says, Stan, be patient. It says, Stan, be gracious in the way you speak. And these are competing values. The patience is what God has put in my heart. The anger and the bitterness and resentment is my own heart. And the question is, what comes out of our heart? What ends up coming out of our heart? If we allow our hearts to become, to take precedent over that, then I'll just be ripping into people and just being angry all the time. And you see how hostile people are. I mean, nowadays in Twitter, just people, it's just, wow. It's just insane how people just let their mouths just blab off. And there's no other countering value in their heart. And so, but God says, I have another value, and it's my heart, the heart of God. And Stan, you may have a bad heart, but you have another value in your heart that counters that. And what I want to see is that you're willing to submit your heart to my heart. Are you willing to submit your heart to my heart? As much as it, as difficult as it might be, are you willing to wrestle with forgiveness of that person? As difficult as it might be, are you willing to wrestle and allow my purity to overcome your impurity, Stan? That's the battle that we face. So in our tongue, watch, guard our tongue and our actions. Let what God thinks and feels prevail. Secondly, utilize a lightning rod. A lightning rod, you know what a lightning rod is, right? Now, we're not talking about the person who attracts a lot of attention and everybody hates that person. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a real lightning rod, and that's usually on top of a high building. And it's on top of a high building because lightning tends to strike high objects. And if you didn't have that lightning rod, it's going to cause damage to the entire structure. A lightning rod is a special piece of metal sticking up above the building with a wire that comes all the way down and is grounded into the ground. And it takes that high energy voltage from lightning, strikes that thing, and it takes that, instead of zapping the whole building and destroying its infrastructure, it takes that charge and takes it into the ground and safely discharges that charge. Sometimes you have emotions and feelings that are so strong that you don't know what to do with it. I highly recommend having a lightning rod in your life. Somebody who you can trust. Somebody who is going to be able to take that charge and ground it into the ground. Sometimes your best friend is not a lightning rod. Sometimes your best friend is a battery. And you get all this charge and it's zapping and going into this battery. What happens to your best friend? Their hearts are all junk now too, right? They're all angry with you and they say, yeah, that person is really bad and terrible and everything. And they're storing it up in their heart. That's not a lightning rod. That's not the person you want to tell all of your stuff to. But there are people out there who are lightning rods, who know how to sit with you, who now know how to hear what you're saying, allowing God to move in and bringing peace and healing to your heart. You can say almost anything if you say it in the right way. Number three, confess. Confess in your notes now. Confess before the concealed is disclosed. Confess before what's hidden is made known. Confess before what you say in the dark is heard in the daylight. Confess before what's whispered in the ear in the inner rooms is proclaimed from the housetops, from the roofs. One of the reasons I am so transparent with the things that I say is this reason. It's a safeguard for my own soul. I'll be honest with you, my own tendency is to want to hide. My first reaction is I want to hide. My immediate second reaction is no, I don't want to hide because one day it's going to be made known anyway. I might as well just be open and upfront about it. And so I am. I'm intentionally open and upfront about it. I actually look for places where I can confess stuff. so I can just get it out there. And what that does in my heart is it cleanses my heart. It lets me know before the Lord in a good conscience, Lord, yes, there is this ugly stuff in my heart, but I want you to know I'm putting you first. And I want you to know if and when this becomes public, I want everyone who sees it, who will see it, know that I've done my very, very best to deal with it in the right way. I go through all the same stuff everybody else does. All the same stuff. But I strive really hard to deal with it in the right way. And I believe that, and God has, because of that, God has given me a freedom and a peace and a release that I don't have this cloud hanging over my head, a cloud of guilt. And I believe that's what Jesus is going here. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Beware of hypocrisy, because hypocrisy is going to want to take you down. You'll never overcome it completely, but when it happens, find a place to free up. So when we're self-aware and we're self-observant, it can help you to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Beware of hypocrisy. And it can help you avoid the shame that comes when what's concealed is disclosed, when what's hidden is made known, when what's said in the dark is spoken in the light, when what's whispered in the ear in the inner room is proclaimed from the housetops. That's what Jesus wants for you, that kind of life. And I'm not going to ask you to come up here and share all your stuff. I'm not interested in that. I don't think God is at all interested in that. He just wants you to know that he wants you to have a place where you can have your heart cleansed by being at that place of release. So find those ways of releasing what's going on in your heart so that you will be less two-faced than we tend to want to be. Lord, help us, Lord, in these things. We will always struggle with this, God, but I pray, God, that you will really work in our midst and continuing to help us, alerting us, Lord, when we are hiding. But allow us to come before you, Lord, and find those ways to be released. We thank you, Lord, for the refiner's fire that is so relentless in pursuing us, to pursue us until our souls are refined as pure as gold. That's our desire, Lord. Help us to avoid the hiding. Help us to avoid the secretiveness. And help us to come to a place where we can really find release through your understanding, Lord, how one day all these things will be made known. Let it be a safeguard to us. Let it motivate us to live right, even in the secret and private places. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.